The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, here in local markets, we saw losses widen towards the last hour or two of trading, and the Straits Times Index saw one of the worst performers among the major markets in the Asia Pacific. Everyone else, though, relatively mixed, and gains and losses were once again subdued, with everybody sharply focused on December 15, when we might see a possible raising of tariffs on Chinese goods once again, should the U.S. and China fail to reach another trade deal. It seems that markets might be trading in this tense and tight matter leading up to the Sunday's moment of truth. Today on Primetime, we're joined once again by Mr. Stephen Innes, the chief market strategist for the APAC region at AxiTrader, who is here to share with us his thoughts leading up to this momentous date. Mr. Innes, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon to you once again out in Bangkok.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on again, JP.
All right, so Stephen, it remains a busy week ahead, nevertheless, and it's going to be capped by the December 15 moment of truth. Will they or won't they levy new tariffs on Chinese goods? It seems that that Sonny Perdue, the Agriculture Secretary of the United States, still thinks that there's a good chance they won't see tariffs raised, but that China still needs to do more to try and convince the U.S. that they should sign off on a deal. Now, both sides have expressed interest to resolve issues at varying degrees, but things really are still up in the air leading to the date to that date. And will this keep markets on the edge of their seats and rather uptight until we get some finality or clarity on what December 15 will yield?
Well, let's hope for the market's sake that the U.S. Agricultural Secretary Sonny Perdue is echoing Trump's sentiment when he suggested the U.S. taxpayers will be in for a bit of a reprieve and the December 15 tariffs probably won't happen. Of course, we'll have to wait for the solemnity of a Trump tweet for that officially to happen. In the meantime, trade talks remain the only game in town, and presumably they're going to continue as both sides try to put a deal together to avoid these tariffs. Here's the big problem, as far as I can see. We could end up in a position again where we are long on trade talk optimism and short on concessions. Markets could start to fade all this trade talk hope, where it becomes a coin flip as we head into the weekend, especially if we don't have the majesty of a Trump tweet that the December tariffs are postponed. So, yeah, still a significant tail risk around this, whether will he not impose these U.S. tariffs.
All right. And, as we know, Stephen, also, we did see more economic data from China that was rather discouraging. We were fresh off of those dismal trade figures the other day. And today, factory prices in China fell. Pork prices surged by about 110%. Chinese officials have echoed they're hopeful that a phase one deal is still achievable. In the past, U.S. President Trump has mentioned that China actually wants this deal more than they do. Given some of this recent data from China, do you think that there is an off chance that the American president might actually be right? Or are we perhaps reading a little bit too much in favor of Washington based on that reading?
I think the economic data speaks for itself in China. It's been quite dreary. I think we've had a couple of upticks and some forward-looking gauges around the Purchasing Manager Index. But the proof into the hard data hasn't really come. So we have to be very careful as to how we read the data. I think, obviously, the forward gauges look a little bit better, but the current proof is in the pudding gauges look pretty bad. And this sort of adds to Trump's point that the tariffs are working in his favor. Here's a scary thing that we were discussing today on the desk, is that with China data wobbling, and we see this positive inference out of the U.S. where we had some really robust employment data last week, could this embolden Trump further to apply some pressure? Well, we really hope not. We sort of came to the conclusion here that Trump needs a political win. I think he's got this impeachment issue hanging over his head. And obviously, he's in the run-up to a very, very contentious 2020 election. And this would offer him just a perfect opportunity to really drill home the success he's had around this trade narrative, especially when he'll start to infer the fact that he's taken China to the cliff edge of recession and actually allowed them to come back here by pulling back on these tariffs. So I think there's a win side here, and we think that he's going to go ahead and defer these tariffs in December. At least that should put the domino effect in place where we could actually see a more definitive trade risk unwind.
All right.
To 2020.
We're still speaking to Mr. Stephen Innes, the chief market strategist for the Asia Pacific region over at Axie Trader. Now, Stephen, I do want to bring up two scenarios that seem rather possible, and both of them seem a bit tedious from first glance. On one hand, you might see tariffs on December 15. There's still a possibility that doesn't happen. The second one is we might see no tariffs, but a prolonged period of limbo before a phase one deal happens somewhere deep into 2020 or even past the U.S. elections, as U.S. President Trump has hinted at before. It seems that there seems to be more possibility of what I would say is in the market downturn, but maybe market angst. How would you advise investors to decouple themselves from this market angst should this actually arise, given these two possible scenarios?
Well, I think the first of all, we have to get through this December tariff delay before anything really comes into focus here. So this is why there remains a lot of focus on here. And actually, I think all hell will break loose if these tariffs don't get postponed. It could be a very bitter pill for investors to swallow. Reality check sets in that they've been walked down the garden path again, only to be taken to that cliff edge. So, we have to be very careful here. But a trade deal without a tariff rollback is not great. One, it doesn't add any luster to the global growth narrative, and that's quite negative. I think risk assets, especially oil and even gold, oil would react negatively, gold would react favorably, simply because this would probably mean that central banks would probably have to go back into the easing well again to defend against possible downward in the economic side, because trade terms have not improved. So this is the key inference we're be taking away from that situation.
All right. And Stephen, before we let you go, you did bring up oil just a while ago, which is the final thing I want to discuss with you here. We did, as we know, just last week, oil prices seem to have gotten a lift when OPEC indicated further output cuts. But really, it comes down to enforcement, isn't it? Apart from this possible economic downturn and possible downside from a prolonged trade tensions between the U.S. and China, it's whether or not OPEC, which used to be such a strong outfit, seems that they're having trouble at least enforcing these particular oil cuts. How effective do you think they still are in determining the direction of new energy prices? And do you think that the decline in oil prices recently has really undermined or eroded OPEC's ability to manage itself or even enforce itself within its ranks?
I think it's all a reflective of the proliferation of shale oil in the market, so they don't really have the big stranglehold on oil prices that they once had in the past. But you know, I was a little bit surprised by all the bullish inferences built around OPEC. Really, their prime strategy over the past year or so has been to limit downside risk, not really push up prices higher. I think they've given up on that. I think really the best they could expect here is to limit downside, provided, as we still go through into 2020. Look, we might get a rollback in a September tariff here, but that doesn't mean things are all bright and cheery. We still got multiple tariffs to unwind, and I think we're going to have a lot of issues going forward. I think we're really finding ourselves now as we enter the holiday season in the calm between two storms. I think 2020, that U.S.-China trade war focus is even going to intensify as we move forward to eliminate a bigger chunk of the tariffs. And this is where the testy issues around intellectual property rights will start to come into the fore again. So let's not put too much focus on where we're sitting as we move into 2020, although I think markets will heave a huge sigh of relief if we can get the phase one trade deal. Getting back to the OPEC again, yeah, I totally agree. I think this is really coming down to a compliance concern. Really, if the members don't comply, especially if Iraq is the second biggest producer and also in the OPEC cartel, and also if we get some wobbling compliance from Russia, it's not going to proceed great. I think we'll start to see downside risk happen even this week once we get through the Aramco IPO, because I think, I think a lot of this is really getting built around the Aramco deal, propping up prices to get this IPO off. So we'll have to see how the market reacts even this week to the compliance bounce that the markets are trading on right now.
So a lot of moments of truth also for the oil markets in the next couple of days. We'll have to leave it there, but I'd like to thank Mr. Stephen Innes, the Chief Market Strategist for the Asia Pacific at AxiTrader, for joining us this afternoon on Primetime. Appreciate the time, and good afternoon to you, sir.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.